Very good to see everybody present with us this morning. I don't know if you've ever studied with anyone that said, I'm just not a person of faith. I just don't believe that I have to believe. And I would tell you that when they make that statement, that's their faith. That's their belief. I don't have to believe. That's what they trust in. And there's always a belief in something. Those that do not believe in the Almighty God of heaven have a belief of faith that is based upon certainly something other than the Word of God, usually in connection with so-called science of this world. Jesus addresses Thomas here, who had not seen him when he had come in with the ten, and said, I will not believe unless I put my finger into the nail prints in his hand and thrust my fist into his side where the sword had pierced him. I'll not believe. Even though they had told him that the Lord had been with them. And what was stated then by Jesus is, do not be unbelieving, but believe. But believe. I want to ask some questions this morning for your consideration. It's going to be about belief. And what we're going to do is just look at God's word and ask you, and it's rhetorical, of course, ask you, what do you believe? What is it that you believe? First of all, do you believe the following? John 6, chapter verse 63, Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And I will tell you that there are some wonderful words that are written down by human authors. And probably the greatest document that exists as far as human authors are concerned is the Declaration of Independence. And yet we see some weaknesses as far as the application of that. We believe that all men are created equal. Remember those statements? We just got through celebrating or remembering the beginning of this country yesterday. And you think about what was stated and the 400-year history of those that were enslaved by people in this world, the application of that statement was not upheld. The pursuit of happiness was not by all. I will tell you, I don't want to be under a different government. Words that were written so eloquently, not only in the Declaration of Independence, but also in the Constitution. I don't believe that there exists a greater document as far as men can produce than that. But it's not inspired. And the application of even what was written was not seen. When we look at what Jesus states here in John 6 and verse 63, do you believe that the words that he speaks are spiritual? Do you believe that they give life? Do you believe that? In other words, do you believe in the authority of God's word as it relates to that which is spiritual and that which gives eternal life? Do you believe, Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that that is the purpose of the gospel? Or do you believe that writings of men in the religious realm will lead you to salvation? There are those that claim salvation by means other than the gospel of Christ Jesus, and they are ashamed of Christ of that gospel. But do you believe that there's not a need to be ashamed? Because it is the power of God. Do you believe, as it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And when he says prophecy there, he's not talking about just the foretelling of the future, but rather the proclamation that comes forth of speaking of the mind of God that was given by inspiration. Do you believe that's not of any private interpretation? That there is truth that comes from God and it's not determined by the whim and will nor interpretation of man, but God said exactly what he meant when we look into the Bible. Do you believe that it is by inspiration? As we see in verse 21, for the prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that term there, moved by the Holy Spirit, means by inspiration. God gave forth to them what it was that His will was for each and every one of us. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Jeremiah says in the 10th chapter in verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's a higher being that directs us? That has better plans for us? That knows us so intimately that He gives this word that we're looking at so that there is a fellowship that we can have with Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're just directed in, well, you know, I have my thoughts, my own ideas, my mind, and so forth, and we all do. But will we submit to what Jeremiah is talking about? Do you believe that? And then do you believe, when we look in John 12, verse 48, as Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Do you believe that when this life is over, or when the end of time comes, that our judgment, our destiny, is directly in connection with the words, instructions that are given by Christ Jesus? Do you believe that? I had a friend one time that I studied the Bible with. He's deceased now. And talking about the end of time, he says, don't you understand, Garen? He said, whenever I stand before God at the end of time, can you imagine the billions and billions of people that would have ever lived upon the face of this earth? He says, I'll never have to face judgment. And I said, how can you say that? He says, I'm going to go to the end of the line. And God will never get to me to judge me. Because of the billions and billions of people that have ever lived upon the earth, I'll never face judgment. What a finite, carnal view and lack of respect for the power of God in that statement. As far as I know, he never came to a knowledge of the truth. He's in the hands of a just God. That's all we can say about that. But we do know this, that I ask you the question, do you believe that we will be judged by the words that he spoke? Do you believe that? Well, there's a yes and no to that. So if you said yes, then you understand the authority that is from above. That Jesus states this way, going back to Matthew the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. All authority is mine. I know that the scripture says all power or authority has been given unto me. But that's a timeless aorist in the Greek. Jesus is saying all authority is mine. And he tells his disciples, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of them. Make disciples of them. And then he says, teaching them, those that you have baptized that have entered into a relationship with God, because they understand the authority that God has and they understand the authority that I have, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age or end of the world. And that last part there, I'm with you always, has to do with fellowship. And that fellowship by the recognition that God has the right to rule. He has authority. Christ Jesus has authority. And he has that right to rule, just as mentioned by Paul when we look over in Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? You know, we have responses to those sometimes that are in authority in this world, and of course they're not the absolute authority, and we have the right to question and so forth, but not in connection with God. Do you believe that? You believe that God has the right to rule, that he is authority, and that his ways are higher than our ways. Do you believe that? If you said yes to all these on the left that we mentioned, well, then you do. And you believe what Isaiah said in the 55th chapter, verses 8 and going down through verse 11. We'll skip verse 10. He says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'll tell you that when you get older, as I am doing day by day, we understand more and more about our finite ability to understand, and we trust more in God. And in connection with that, he says then in verse 11, so shall my word be, God says that, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That the words that we have in this Bible, that all of us have, whether it's on your phone, your tablet, or in hardbound copy, are the ways of the Lord that are higher than our ways, his thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. And what he has said is both sure and steadfast, and will in no way fail in his intent to bring people to Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Let me ask another set of questions. Do you believe the following? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Do you believe that statement? I will tell you, there are commentators, and I've counted some words on this, that do their best to explain away exactly the clear statement that is made by Christ Jesus here. And there are some that I've counted up to 1,350 words to try to explain away the clear statement, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. They try to explain that away and use so many words to do that. I'll give you an example of it. One commentator says, Jesus didn't say, but he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. Well, how foolish is that? Because if you don't believe, you wouldn't be baptized in the first place. How foolish that is. And they have Jesus making nonsensical statements and sentence structures to try to prove their point. But it's clear, isn't it? Do you believe that? Do you believe that one is baptized in connection with salvation? Do you believe that, as stated here, by Jesus Christ himself in Mark 16:16? Do you believe that? Do you believe this? On the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter preached to those that had crucified Jesus, he said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, voluminous amount of words are used in connection with trying to explain that away, where baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Mark 16, baptism has nothing to do with remission or taking away of sins. And yet we have the clear statements that are made here by the writers that are speaking forth the mind of God. Do you believe that statement? Do you believe in Acts 22 and verse 16, as was told Saul of Tarsus, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you reason from your own mind away the clear statement that's made by God here through his word? And say, there's nothing in water. I drink it every day. I bathe in it. I cook with it. I go and I have fun in it. I swim, I ski or whatever. And there's nothing about water. And let me tell you, with that particular reasoning, you are correct. Except for what stands in connection with the authority of God and his commandment about obedience. And that's where the power is. That's whatever it is unleashed upon those that will hear the word of God. Do you believe that baptism washes away sins? It says so right there, but do you believe it? Do you believe, as stated in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us? Not putting away the filth of the flesh, it's not for taking a bath. But it's for an answer of a good conscience before God, where we look to him and his will and realize then that we are forgiven if we obey him, and that by the resurrection or through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which upon all things hinge in connection with his will. If he had not risen from the dead, there would be no truth. And we would be wasting our time here this morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that baptism saves us? Just as Peter says right here, do you believe, Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen through with him through faith in the operation of God, who has raised us from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Do you believe in God and his power and in connection with baptism that it is a work not of man, but it is of God in connection with your salvation, your remission of sins, your forgiveness? Do you believe that? Well, if your answer is yes, and it's hard to deny because it's right there in the scriptures, if you said yes, that you believe, then you believe that God, with the quality of faith he is looking for. And faith that he's looking for is not just an empty faith, just as Paul said in Romans 4 and verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And there we have the quality of faith that God is looking for those that will be in fellowship with him. That, Lord, it doesn't matter what I was taught. It doesn't matter what I was raised up believing. It doesn't matter what men say. If you say it, I believe it. That's the quality of faith. You think back to Abraham. Abraham, you're 100 years old. You're going to father a child. Your wife is 90. She's going to bear forth that child. How in the world can that be? We'd say impossible. We go back and we look at what instruction was given to Abraham in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Take your son, your only son, take him upon the mount, and there sacrifice him unto me. As the Hebrew writer said, that quality of faith came out in the mind of Abraham in connection with that, that he believing that if he had sacrificed his son, his only son, that he believed God, that God would be able to raise him forth from the dead, which he did in a figure. And that figure was through Christ Jesus. If you believe with God with the quality of faith he's looking for, and you're ready to obey him and become a Christian, Matthew 28, verse 19, being baptized, and be added to the church, and it's not the physical building, but it's the spiritual body. Acts 2, verses 39 through 41, we see it as it begins there in verse 39, for this promise, as promise of salvation, is to you and your children, to all that are far off, as means the Lord your God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be safe from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. If you said yes, well, then you're ready to be added to that congregation of believers that have that faith, that quality of faith that God is looking for. Let me ask you this also. Do you believe the following? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have studied with so many people. I know what I have seen. I know what I have heard. And that's what I trust in. That's what I believe in. That's where I put my confidence, in the things that I have experienced. You know, you go back and you watch some of these shows. Such as Forensic Files. I don't know if anybody's ever seen any of those. There have been men and women convicted of murder, put on death row at the witnesses' accounts, more than one, in some cases more than a dozen, that identified the murderer as that particular person that is in prison and that is on death row. And then whenever DNA came available to test and to understand how it was used and so forth, exonerated them. And not only did it exonerate them, they found the individual that actually did the crime. And sure enough, it was somebody of the same skin color, same hair color, looked very similar. But the eyewitnesses gave account. I am sure it was this individual here, and it was not. And I will tell you, we can't trust in ourselves. That's the reason that God said, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Do you believe that faith comes by hearing, or that faith comes from your own experience? The scripture says it comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Do you believe, as stated in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, that we are to supplement our faith with virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness or affection, and then with love, the high love? Do you believe that your faith has to be growing? As we see in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Or do you believe it's a one-time shot? I'm just going to believe, have faith only, and then everything will be fine. And you take out of context or not read the entire scripture in James, the second chapter in verse 24, you see how then, my brethren, as James writes, a person is not justified by faith only. Do you understand that? Do you understand that that faith has to be growing, and it's not stagnant and it's not static, but it continues to grow? Do you believe, as stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that every scripture that is inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely to every good work? Do you believe that the word of God will make you a better person than what you are right now? Are you the best that you can be? Or do you believe on the other side, I can't do any good whatsoever and I will forever be incomplete before God? If you look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you'll understand that you can be better than what you are. You can be better than what you are. And I will tell you, God's word directs us not only in the spiritual, but also in the life that we live here upon this earth. And we'll become better citizens, better brothers, better husbands and fathers, better elders, all those different things that we do will become better. And it's through God's word. Do you believe that? If you said yes, then you're ready to serve God and remain in his fellowship. And we see in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, John writes, says, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you want to be illuminated to what God says, he says, listen to this. Listen to God. And then he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I'm just going to believe what I believe. But if we walk in the light, and that light, that illumination that comes forth from God's word, then we understand the truth. Do you believe that? Well, if you answered yes to these passages on the side, you do. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you have said, I just cannot be forgiven, you've not looked at the power that is in the blood of Christ that shed blood unto your forgiveness. And you're ready for the highest commitment. As stated by Paul in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, renovation of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You're ready to become a child of God, and you're ready to give up self, and to live for him, just as Paul said that he was going to do and was doing in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you believe those things that are written on the left, you're ready to serve. You're ready to be sacrificial in your life. You're prepared because you put your trust where it belongs. Let me ask you this. Do you believe the following? As Paul says to me, to me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace has been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To make all men see was the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the ages have been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ. Do you believe that the called out body, the church, again, not the physical structure, but that relationship of the called out is evidence of the wisdom of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe as stated in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. If I'm delayed, as he writes to Timothy, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And none of that is about the physical structure. Matter of fact, none of that is about the local aspect. But the conduct within even the local church is involved. That it is the pillar and ground of the truth. Not man's words, but God's words. Not man's teaching, but God's teaching. Do you believe, as stated in Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that there is one body and one Spirit? That body is the church. Ephesians 1 and verse 23. Do you believe that you were called in one hope of your calling? There's not many means or ways of salvation, but just the one. Do you believe that there is one Lord and not many? Do you believe that there is the one faith that is given to us by God? Do you understand that there is the one baptism unto our remission of sins, unto our salvation, unto our washing away of sins? And that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you. Do you believe those words from God's word? If you said yes, then you're ready to work for the Lord in the only organization designed by Him for fellowship with Him and others in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are so many that are looking just for more that is out there and will not recognize the full sufficiency of what God has set in place. And that organization to teach is the church, the called out body, and individuals in connection with teaching God's word. And there's no other organization. We look over in Ephesians 4, verse 15 through 16. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is head, Christ, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does the share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you believe that that's where we get the edifying? That that's the work of the church, not of a parachurch or some secular group or a business, but rather it is from the church and God's word, and that it edifies one another. Do you believe that we are to care for others? 2 Corinthians 9, 12 through 13, especially in connection with those that are Christians as far as the work of the church is concerned. And Paul says to those of Corinth about a offering that would be made for the needy saints at Jerusalem, for the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saint, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And we look at that, do you understand that you can give to whoever you want to give individually, but that the work of the church in benevolence has to do with those that are saints? Do you believe that? Colossians 2, 6 through 10, do you believe the following? That you are complete in Christ Jesus. Supplements are not only unnecessary, supplements of this world. Organizations, teaching, and doctrine are not just supplements that we can add to our understanding, but rather they are totally unscriptural. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Do you believe, as stated in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Or do you glory in yourself? Or a man's organization? Do you believe, as stated in Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10, that we've been made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in dispensation of the fullness of time he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. You understand that your existence here upon this earth is finite? Just think about how time has flown wherever you look. And I'm not talking to the young people, because it's not necessarily so for them. But as you get to those that Al announced that are a little bit older, my, how time flies. And even with the younger ones that have children, remember when they were babies and now look at them. They're growing up quick. They're getting away quick, aren't they? Do you understand that your time is finite, and there's going to be a gathering of the Lord's people by himself. Do you understand that? If you do, if you said yes to this, then you will not look for human supplements to what God has supplied. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, because in looking for supplements, you're actually involving yourselves in the sin that is so easily besetting us, and that is the sin of unbelief. God just doesn't supply enough. That's the thoughts of some. He's all sufficient in everything that he is and everything that he's done and everything that's been given. And we're to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. You're ready. If you believe these things on the left, you're ready, because you're looking to Christ Jesus. And you recognize from whom all blessings flow. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'll tell you, there are people that have received great blessings here upon this earth from men, but they pale in comparison to what God supplies. They don't hold a candle. This is about eternal life. And when we look in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. Do you really put your trust in him? If you said yes to these on the left, well, then you do. You do. And you're not looking for some supplement to what God has supplied for us. Do you believe enough to put your trust in the only one that is sure? And that's the final question for this morning. First of all, we're going to just look at a few passages in closing. It's about trust. It's about trust. Psalm 9, 7 through 11. The psalmist says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He's prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. You know, we look at this, and there are so many things that the people of this world put their trust in. Riches, they'll fade, they'll go away, as Jesus stated in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Family, heritage, organizations of men. The trust must be in the Lord. We see when we look over in the 25th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And I will tell you, if our trust is not in God, in Christ Jesus, and what he's given to us, the enemies are winning in our life. We have to look to what he has given us and put our trust there. We see in the 40th Psalm, verse 4 and 5, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. All wisdom, all authority, all power is with God. And I have stated with the people, it says, how can so many people that are so smart, so intelligent, be wrong? And the answer is right here. They don't put their trust in the Lord. The 146th Psalm in verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I will tell you, and you've seen me draw or have on the board, two symbols. One from the standpoint of subjective reasoning. You remember it? It's a circle, comes to an arrow that goes inside. I know what I believe. And then the other one is a circle that comes to an arrow that looks up. And that's what the psalmist is speaking of. I ask you this morning, do you believe? And let me just answer for you, first of all, you believe in something. You may believe, I've got plenty of time to come to the Lord. Remember the parable of the rich farmer who had been blessed with great crops and wealth and had provision for this world? What shall I do? I will tear down my barns, I will build greater. I will do this, I will do that. And the Lord spake to him, which is truth for each and every one of us, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. I don't believe that God killed him. But God knew that the end of his time was now. That is what we cannot know. Our life is as vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Will you take a chance on tomorrow? Will you take a chance that you'll breathe your next breath before becoming a Christian? If you will become a Christian, will you believe the things that we looked at? Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you have that faith that is the quality of faith? Will you obey from the heart that form of doctrine that has been delivered to you through the mind of one that is higher than us, whose ways and thoughts are so greater than ours, who's wanting the best for each and every one of us? If you are a child of God, but you've not been serving him, that sacrificial aspect of service, if it's not Christ that is seen in your life, will you ask for the prayers of the saints? Maybe you're just needing help from the standpoint of comfort and prayers for your situation. Maybe you've not sinned, but you feel you need uplifting and edifying. We're here for that also. Do you believe? You have a belief about something. Will you put your trust and belief in what really counts from the one that has given us the hope of everlasting life? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.